wonderful to be a Christian and to know that we can lean on those everlasting arms. Amen. And notice, everlasting, everlasting. The arms of Jesus never grow tired or never quit loving us and holding us up, and it's wonderful. We welcome you to the service today. We pray that wherever you are, whether you're listening on Sunday or some other day of the week, that God is blessing you, and that through the service today that the Holy Spirit will minister to you in a very special way. Let's begin with a moment of prayer. Father, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you for this day. Thank you for each blessing you've given us. We do thank you for Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. And we do thank you for those everlasting arms that hold us up, that love us, that comfort us, that encourage us. Oh, thank you, Father, for the privilege of being one of your children, both now and for all of eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Let's sing a song together like we normally do each and every Sunday. Sing a song that you all know, and that way you can help me out with it as we sing. Certainly a song of the times, and certainly we're learning to do more and more. I have to tell you, if there's one thing I think is good, it's going to come out of the coronavirus, that is that we're going to learn to trust God more. And we're going to learn to be with our families and closer to our families. I believe all of that is going to be the end result of this. But let's sing the song, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."
Jesus, Jesus.
Good morning. We welcome you to our May the 17th webcast, as we have been doing, and we will continue to be. I'm going to have a few announcements at this time, but we'll continue on with the webcast service until such time as things open up and phase two is enacted, and we'll change things around at that time. But for now, we are going to do the webcast, and then tomorrow, if you're getting this webcast early, then you will be here at 10 o'clock and for a service on the parking lot tomorrow. And so be here for that and bring your lawn chairs, and we'll do social distancing, and we will do all the right things that have been recommended for us to do tomorrow at 10. But we're looking forward to it. But in the meantime, we are going to do today a service that will be you able to listen to tomorrow on the web. And for those of you that can't make the 10 o'clock service tomorrow, this is for you. We'll be doing two separate services. The pastor is not going to preach the same sermon, and we'll not do the same music twice. So it'll be good. And you all pray for us as we continue on, and pray for our team that is so faithfully doing this. As we look at our prayer request for May the 17th, I want us to remember Cynthia Yao. She's scheduled for surgery. This becoming Friday on her foot. She's been having some difficulty with some bones, and we want to remember her. Tony and Ruth Eford were involved in an automobile accident, but both are at home now after some time in the hospital briefly, checking them out. And Ruth, I believe, has fractured her sternum. But anyway, there are blessed two people that they are home, and they're having some sore muscles and backs and troubles with that since the accident. But you pray for them that they'll be well soon, 100%. We need to pray for the Ruth Whitley family. That was my mother-in-law. We pray for Donna and all the family as we grieve the death of our mother-in-law, Ruth. We do not have the plans made complete. We will meet on Sunday today as we recorded this at 2. The plans will be a graveside service and then a celebrate life service at a later date when things open up. So the graveside service will be for family members. Earlene Burris, let's continue to pray for Earlene. Earlene starts chemo again next week, and let's remember her as she goes through and as she fights this battle with cancer. Continue to pray for Bryson Martin. He is going to go back into St. Jude. And let's pray for this small child as he indeed is battling the cancer as well. Let's pray for Angie's mom. Angie's mom came home from the hospital yesterday, but I understand some difficulties, and she went back to the ER this morning. So let's pray for her and continue to pray for her. Pray for our church. Pray for us as we are transitioning into doing different things, as we're trying to get back together tomorrow. Pray for our pastor as we work together, and all those who are helping as we try our very best to present a time of worship, and we can get back together and do that. Let's go together to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for the many blessings that you give us already. Lord, we couldn't count them, and all the blessings you've given us, blessings that we even overlook and we take for granted. But Lord, we thank you. Thank you for you being all powerful. Thank you for being in control. And I pray now, Lord, that you would bless our church. Bless each one. Bless us as now as we are beginning to transition to go back into service together. Help us tomorrow in this day at our service. As we go and have service on the parking lot, Lord, we pray for them, that service. But then, Lord, we pray for the service that we're up in the process of doing now. We pray for our pastor. We lift him up to you. We thank you for those that will sing. Praise God for them. And then, Lord, as we look at those who have requested prayer and have immediate needs, we pray for Cynthia Yao, as she will be having surgery next Friday. We pray for Tony and Ruth as they're convalescing, recuperating from the automobile accident. We pray for them. Lift them up to you. Make them whole again, I pray. The family of Ruth Whitley, I pray for for all of those involved there as we grieve the loss of our mother-in-law and mother and grandmother. We pray for Earlene Burris. Earlene Burris, as she will be starting chemo again next week. We pray for her. And then little Bryson Martin, as he continues to battle the cancer at St. Jude. We pray for him. We ask your blessings upon Angie's mom, Lord, as she is now back into the hospital or ER. We pray for her and continue to pray. Lord, these are just a few of the needs, Lord, that we can mention to you directly today. But Lord, we know there are others that are in our complete list of prayer list that are on our website. But we pray for them. We pray for those who can't be here, would love to be here as we do our service tomorrow on the lot. Lord, we ask a special blessing there. And now, Lord, as we go forward today, we pray special now, Lord, as we continue on with the service. And Lord, everything that's done, we will give you glory. To you be the glory. And now these blessings I pray in your name. Amen. Kathy High has asked that I sing a song. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. It's a beautiful, beautiful song with beautiful words. And I sang the song with the quartet. So I thought it'd be a good thing today, just let the quartet back me up on it. I hope you enjoy When He Was on the Cross, I Was on His Mind, and this is for you, Kathy.
I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes. I often slip. Just common flesh and bones. But someday I'll prove just I'm of the special kind. For when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. The look of love was on his face. Blood was on his scarlet robe, stained a crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead.
Well, you know the news. According to the last I read, over 80,000 people have died from the coronavirus. And we hurt for everybody that has passed away. We hurt for everybody's family. We hurt for those that have had the virus and are recovering. There's been a tragedy. And yet there's two statistics that I've seen along with this that bother me or concern me even more. One is that every time the unemployment rate goes up 1%, the death rate goes up 2%. People are dying, evidently because they're losing their jobs. The other one, akin to that and included in that, is said that they're expecting 75,000 or more extra deaths because of alcoholism, drug overdose, or despair. Think about it. For every person that dies from the coronavirus, one person dies out of hopelessness. That is so sad. To think that there are that many people in the United States who are living in a hopeless, feeling helpless situation. Now, every situation is different, so we best not be pointing fingers at people that are depressed or sad or anything like that, because we don't know the medical issues involved and all the other issues that are involved. So we definitely don't point any fingers. But as believers in Jesus Christ, there is some hope. There is some hope. On the way here to the church today, I got to thinking about King David. And you remember in one occasion, David and his men, this is before he became king, they were off on a raid, and when they got back, an enemy had come in, destroyed their homes, captured their families, took their wives and children captive and left, took all the loot, everything that was of value. And everybody began to cry and weep and wail because of the sad situation of what they had lost. And then David's soldiers started muttering among themselves, "Let's just kill David. After all, if he hadn't led us out on this trip, we'd have been here to protect our families." And in the midst of that turmoil, the Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged himself not just in God, but his God. In a turmoil, in a difficult time, David had a God, a personal relationship with God, and he could go and spend some time with that Lord, that God, and be encouraged. This morning I want us to look in Psalm 91 and find some words that I believe, if you look at them and study them and apply them, will be a great encouragement to you concerning you and your God. Psalm 91, and it begins with saying, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now, our daughter went to college in Oklahoma, got married and stayed out there. And so over the years, we've made multiple trips back and forth to Oklahoma. And I can drive down Interstate 40 and I can say, "Well, we stayed in that motel and we stayed in that motel and we stayed in this other motel." But we just stayed there. We didn't dwell there. There's only been a few houses where I've really dwelt, lived, abided, a permanent place of residence. a place to dwell. Now you see, that's the difference that Jesus makes. Now for an unsaved person, they don't have a God in whom to dwell. Many people that have their name on a church roll somewhere, but really don't have much of a relationship with the Lord, they don't dwell there either. Even a casual Christian doesn't often dwell in the presence of God. But a dweller is somebody that is in the presence of God on a regular, consistent basis. I mean, it's not just an occasional thing. It's an all-the-time thing. I was thinking again this morning, what is it, five times a day that the Muslims get down on their mat, face toward Mecca, and talk to their God? How many times a day do we, as believers in Jesus Christ, stop and spend time talking to our God, talking to the living God? Are we dwellers? I laugh when I think about this. You know how sometimes we just zip through life, and then all of a sudden we look at the calendar and we say, oops, I've got my yearly checkup at the doctor in 6 weeks. And suddenly, I got to lose pounds, I've got to exercise, or I'm going to be embarrassed. So we run around for 6 weeks trying to do what we need to do to be better. How much better if we just dwelt in good health, ate healthy all the time, and exercised all the time? And so it is, sometimes people just run to the Lord when they need Him rather than dwell in His presence. But the psalmist said, I dwell in the presence. I know you look at me now and you think I'm kidding, but when I was in first grade, I was the skinniest little runt you've ever seen. And back in those days, all the kids played on the playground before school. School I went to didn't have a cafeteria, so everybody brought their own banana sandwich or peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And we ate out on the playground, and then we played for an hour before we had to go back to class. And there was a boy in my class, and he was in the first grade just like I was, only I think he'd been in there at least two or three more years and still in first grade. And he was a bully. That's back in those days where we never, never had mentioned bullies. He tormented me because I was such a little skinny runt. But then one day I realized something. I had an eighth grade neighbor. Gerald was a good friend. And I realized that when we got out on the playground, if I hung around with Gerald, Johnny didn't mess with me. And I didn't care what kind of ball or whatever Gerald and his friends were doing, I was Gerald's shadow for most of that year. You see, I dwelt in the presence of Gerald for my own protection. The psalmist says that he dwells in the secret place of the Most High, the secret place of the all-sufficient God, El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough, the God who's almighty, the God who's all-provisional. He says, I dwell in His presence. I dwell in His, in the King James says shadow, but it's like his fortress. I dwell with his arms around me. And then he goes on, he says, he's making it in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. He said, I make a declaration that God is my daily personal protection. God is my daily personal Lord. I'm going to dwell in his presence. Notice he didn't just think this. He didn't just hope this. He made a confession. And we learn in Mark 11, we get what we say. And as he confessed his trust in the Lord, his protection from the Lord was his fortress and his refuge, he got what he said. Now look at, if we go through the rest of the chapter, you see over and over again things that came to him. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Oh, you know how the devil likes to attack us at night? It's quiet. It's dark. There's a sound out there. What was that? And the devil can give us all kinds of terrifying thoughts. We can have a little pain in our body, and the devil begins to convince us that it's fatal. But those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High aren't afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. God's protecting. God's caring. God's watching out for those that dwell in his secret place. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under thy feet. Difficult times comes, even the devil, as he tries to attack us. You know, the Bible says the devil goeth about as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. But God says, you're protected. We have authority as children of God over the devil. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Catch that. We put our love on the Lord, our love in the Lord, our trust in the Lord. And God says, I'll deliver you. I'll set you on high. You know, the Bible says we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And he says, because you've known my name. Powerful, powerful name, the name Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father. Jesus. Jesus. And the world doesn't like Jesus. Go back to the book of Acts. And they were told, don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. You can preach, but you can't preach in the name of Jesus. And nothing's changed. They have you down at some civic club to give an invocation. Now, Pastor, we don't want you to offend anybody, so don't say Jesus. Don't say in the name of Jesus when you close your prayer. Sorry, it's just automatic with me. They don't want us using the name of Jesus. But God says, because we've known his name, he's going to set us on high and deliver us. And then he says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Now notice, he didn't say we're going to never have any trouble. But he says, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to deliver you and I'm going to honor you. God didn't keep Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace. But he was with them. Sounded that old king when he looked in there and said, hey, we threw through three guys in. What's that fourth one doing? Where'd he come from? He looks like the Son of God. Delivered. And he says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. In a difficult time, we can have the presence of God. The devil's going to attack us. He's going to try to get us down, depressed, defeated. And if we hang around with enough people who are all gloom, despair, and agony on me, and if we watch the news all the time, we can get into despair. But if we, like David and like the psalmist, we dwell in the presence of God, if we encourage ourselves in the presence of our God, we can walk in victory and in joy and in peace. I want to conclude by reading this psalm to you in the Passion Translation, because it's so, so beautiful. Listen closely. When you sit enthroned under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. He's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me, the only God for me and my great confidence. He will rescue from every hidden trap of the enemy. He will protect you from false accusation, any deadly curse. His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. You can run under the covering of his majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield keeping you from harm. You'll never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Don't fear a thing. Whether by night or by day, demonic danger will not trouble you, nor will the powers of evil launched against you. Even in a time of disaster with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. You'll be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment, for they will be paid back for what they have done. When we live our lives with the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. How then could evil prevail against us, or disease infect us? God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you, keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. For here's what the Lord has spoken to me. Because you've delighted in me as my great lover, I will greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray. You will find and feel my presence, even in times of pressure and trouble. I will be your glorious hero and give you a feast. You will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you, for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. Oh, God's so good. God is so good. And I encourage every person that's listening to me this morning, dwell in the presence of God. Don't just run there time to time. Don't just wave at him as you run by. But dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And the world may fall apart around you, but you're safe, you're protected, you're loved, you're kept, you're encouraged. You may feel so weak, so helpless, but God's so big. He's so strong. He's so powerful. He's so loving. As we said earlier, his arms are everlasting. And we can lean on him, dwell with him in a troubled world, and then for all of eternity. Father, today as we come into your presence once again, if there's one here that heard these words and doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I pray that the Spirit of God would speak to them, draw him, that person, to Jesus, that they might have those everlasting arms as a place of safety. I pray, Father, today that if there's those listening to me that are discouraged, depressed, hurting, maybe somebody needs a job, I pray that the precious Holy Spirit would at this very moment help them to feel your presence. Help them to know that you love them. Help them to know that you're going to meet their need. Help them to know that it's going to be all right. Just keep trusting in you. Father, thank you that in a shaky world, you're our solid rock. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you that Jesus loves us. And that he's here for us in this life and in the life to come. In his name we pray, the name of Jesus. Amen.